Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
Recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom, and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA.
inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extra work. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff, gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker, emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how I dish when you in the matrix. Dodging bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar. Sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building. Diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor. Speeches out the window, peeking out the window. Baby in the pool, Godfather goes. Only Lord knows, I've been going hammer. Dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals. Yoga on the Monday, stretching to the banner. Watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never own. I don't conversate, I don't compromise. I just penetrate, sex, money, murder. These are the breaks, these are the times. Level number 9, look up in the sky. Tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the ladder skate. Tell me when destruction gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, I do.
Tupac Shakur is a child of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, born out of the spirit of the revolution of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, fire in his bones. Huh? Boldness and rebellion in his blood. Born from his beautiful, bold Black Panther mama, Afeni, sitting in the jail cell, a revolutionary woman carrying the fruit of life, mocking the child in her womb, mocking the child with rebellion, mocking the child with insurrection, mocking the child with a spirit to not go along with what's been going on. When you got a generation like that, you've got to work with them. You've got to mold them and shape them and fashion them
to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so, a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to?
cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the group is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chip in my arm. I don't want to die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear, if God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedy off? The big corporations, the pigs or the media. Sign of the times, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. There's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make them start panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew we had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
Because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
Hit me!
They treat you like an ace that can't be betrayed. I know you stumble with no use people. If your life is on the line, then you're dead today. Latecomers with the latecomers, judging that's a body bag in disguise, y'all, I'll bet ya. I call them body snatchers, cause they come to fetch you with an autopsy ambulance, that's a dissect ya. They are the kings cause they swing amputations. Lose your arms, your legs, and them a compilation. I can prove it to you, watch the rotation. It all adds up to a f***ing situation. So get up and get down. 911 is joking, yo, town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late clown? Get up and get down. 911 is joking, yo, town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late clown?
Doing our people a disservice. In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
Now I grit my teeth. So here's a song to the song, but the shape of the snake. space. I'm called Professor X the Overseer. In the early 1900s, a brother set out on voyage. His mission, black nationalism. His oath, freedom or death. In the 60s, brothers like Stokely Carmichael, H. Rat Brown, the mission, black nationalism. The oath, freedom or death. In the 90s, the mission, black nationalism. The messengers, X-Clan. The movement, Black Watch. The oath, freedom or death. By the way.
Freedom or death, you shall all be moved. Vanglory. This is protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the key.
Abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals labeled me as a logical, mythological. They couldn't comprehend when I brought the word. A sick called verb, a black still nerve. Teaching those actors and actresses who write a couple lines on what black is. Really? Then they labeled me a sin. When a brother just speaks what's within. I guess I'm blacker in the shadow in the darkest alley that they're always scared to go in. Boo. I wear boots and beads, bags and braids. Stick and scroll, rings and shades. Walk in the light of the moon, but I've never been a Batman. African, call it black man. Brother, extract the African steps in your movement. Enhance for improvement. Grand funk, I knew a home for the phrase. Funk and lesson, the pathway.
Ready or not, yeah, we come. Getting down on the one with me.
About blackness, grits and cornbread, how can you act this? I exist on a plane, where the jar is my brain, I'm living to retreat cells, antenna my stick, picture bigger, native liquor, figure, the plume of the trigger goes doom, not boom, not a bunch of sissies, but saviors braver, the red, black, and green, it's just so much more than red, black, and green, you ask what I mean, but yet the sundown shades and lights of dream, watch too late, oops, upside your head, you drop through a bit like lead, where you going, what's your speed, what's your pleasure, what's your need, trees and branches, roots and seeds, forward, backward, many degrees, questions, answers, what's the sum, we have come,
out of the darkness in panther skin comes darkness, driving pink caddies, bearing the remedy to your existence, yes, it gets blacker, with a Nat Turner lick, Martin, Adam, Malcolm, Huey, there's a party at the crossroads.
That they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
Fred.
Black power, black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned in to In Defense of the People weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party, National Chairman, Brother Turner. Your co-host, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and myself, Engineers on the Ones and Twos, National Minister of Communications, Sister Amina. Want to give a strong black power salute to you who are Media PE Mix by Brother Catrick Sadiq for the dope-ass media on In Defense of the People's Radio tonight. Calling every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time, 845-277-9266. Again, that's 845 877-9266. This is the People's Radio, so at any time you can press number one to participate. Tonight's topic, Military-Industrial Complex, Part 2. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines for our host, People's Political Party in Defense of the People, National Chairman, Brother Nat Turner. Black Power, Black Power, can you hear me, Chairman?
Yes, ma'am. Black Power, right on, man.
Black Power.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's what's up. We was talking about, you know, the military-industrial complex, you know, beginning last week. And, you know, we feel that, you know, not often these types of topics or discussions is brought to our people. It may be other forces out there doing it, but we try to make sure that we don't subscribe to the usual, you know, orthodox way of trying to teach our people, the usual accounts of what take place, in this country, the things that affect us on the surface without peeling back the lids in a much deeper level. And so black people can understand why the conditions are the way that they are. It's rather sad. And I'll never say this phrase enough, black leadership, so-called, hasn't done what it's supposed to do, teach our people on all fronts, on all levels. We don't have to be college educated, or whatever. We don't have to be well-spoken, or making sure that we don't say ain't and is not in the sentence, and speaking the Queen's English or the King's English to impress upon people outside of our group, so we can get them to accept us as intelligent and smart, and that we have a head on our shoulders. Some of us dressed the part real well, it's all types of shit, all types of mind play. You can even refer to them as shenanigans. Those of us who go to very serious lengths to disassociate ourselves from, ghetto, this perception of what's ghetto and whatnot, whether we like it or not, we all got a little ghetto in us. Like I said, some of us just dress the part real well and, put on the cosmetics, to conceal it and hide it, and I say all that to say this, just that we can understand, like any other group, if exposed to what we feel is the right information, and we plan on being a part of taking back the narrative, from those who have come in our midst for the past 100 years, and have fed us bullshit, have given us only a selective amount of information, knowledge, all the while we go through the hells that we go through every day in these occupied colonies, in these so-called urban environments, and can't really understand the inner politics, there's these two words, exoteric and esoteric. What we're talking about here, the esoteric, the inner understanding the shit. Some people say, they'll try to correct me and say, hey, brother, it's actually overstanding. That's fine. Whether you want to call it understanding or overstanding, well, that's cool. I have no problem with that. But we feel that, topics just not about, just the Ku Klux Klan or basic racism, police brutality, which some of us have renamed and rebranded as pig terrorism due to the irreconcilable relationship that people of African descent have with the state. And again, what is defined as the state? It's the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police, a combined force that serves the interests of the state, those who steer it, those who drive it, to keep the white ruling class structure intact under the system of capitalism on a national scale. And when they seek these international policies that blow back on to the people that live into this country, that live in this country and don't really understand how, you know, some people just simply, you know, about, hey, man, you know, shit, I went and paid my bill, my utilities, you know, what have you, like right directly, like right there. But they go into the, you know, the grocery store, supermarket, go get gas, you know, and see the prices keep going up and keep going up and keep going up. And they know something ain't right, but the leadership, those who supposed to guide and educate us, haven't said a word, you know, don't go use their TV time that they're allowed to have on CNN and MSNBC or what have you, and explain to our people. And of course, black and brown people from a larger perspective of being non-whites, you know. And so that's why we say on a larger scale, black and brown power, lest there be, you know, some type of synthetic relationship and that we don't combine our forces specifically for black people, you know, with the Black Panther Party started, you know, to politicize and educate their kind, their group, their tribe, their ethnic affiliation. And so we stand on their shoulders and seek to continue where the Black Panther Party left off or were cut off. Methodically, a war against the Panthers, you know. And so this subject, we don't see as speaking Chinese or some alien shit that our people can't grasp or can't understand, you know, but they can feel it in the pocket, you know. And so as I was talking about the military-industrial complex, you know, last week, you know, just basically expanding what the shit is about, the doors of industry, commerce and trade, who seek to dominate the world. And the Hindus understand the shit. We refer to it as blowback. And they understand that as karma. Malcolm X understood as a case of the chickens coming home the roost, or the chickens coming home the roost. The case was the assassination of John F. Kennedy, a case of it, you know, but the chickens coming home the roost. However you understand it, however you want to know it, you may have your own way in saying it. Those who are Christian, who read the Bible, who rely on the Bible for some type of spiritual strength to survive psychologically in this pitiful society, in this decadent society, this decadent world that we wallow in. Some of us don't even live. You know, we struggling just to be, and particularly black people in this country, just struggling just to be. And along the way, a lot of us have lost our humanity. And the state has a nerve to want to diagnose them as bipolar, schizophrenic, and all these other types of things, and make you even worse by giving you the drugs and the medication, which turn you out even more, you know. But war is a racket, as we said last week, and it's designed for a specific purpose, to make sure that the whites in this country and their allies under NATO, you know, these countries that got together and made themselves the face of the world, even though they represent the minority of people on earth. But they've accumulated themselves weapons of mass destruction. Now, what is our definition of the weapons of mass destruction? You can shoot somebody with a 45 caliber or a 9mm and cause some serious destruction. And so we take it all. You know, we see it all as mass destruction, you know. And to keep themselves in the position by using scientific violence, which is where we at today with it. And I used, you know, several examples of, you know, this barbarism disguised as transporting democracy around the world and freeing people from dictatorships and all this kind of shit. You know, and I said that everywhere that they've gone claiming that they're bringing democracy somewhere, you basically couldn't look anywhere on this earth. And wherever they've gone and marked a map, you know, circled the place that they've been on the map and take a look and see that the ones that they claim as dictators is the same ones that they educated and that they placed in office. And they placed them in office for strategic purposes. And this strategic purpose is basically for the control and domination of foreign resources, resources and minerals, which has propped the American system up at the cost of nine whites, black and brown people specifically, you know. A number of countries around the world suffering tremendously. They can't point to a country on the earth where they claim to have brought democracy to these poor people and not seen a path of destruction or left in their trail. You know, they can't point nowhere. 20-year war in Afghanistan, and they was telling the people that the Taliban must go. Taliban was these brutal dictators, and that the Taliban had, you know, were an example of the most brutal regimes against women, you know, and so forth. And right now, as we speak today, tonight, the Taliban is in office. And we also talked about this Afghan war and this perception of the dope trade, you know, the heroin trade from the opium poppy, which is two types of heroin. You can get some legal heroin at the hospital in a liquid called morphine. Or you can get the illegal kind of heroin in a non-liquid form. And due to these wars in Afghanistan, there's a book. I think it's called The Politics of Heroin. I can't think of the author. His name escapes me right now. But in this book, well documented, you know, he clearly shows that these military wars in so-called Central Asia were no more than just wars to keep the dope trade afloat to support the U.S. economy. In terms of the gross domestic product and the gross national product, it's just like the point system in the banking system, your credit system, the credit system, and those who strive to keep a perfect credit record, those who seek to repair a credit record that has suffered tremendously due to debt. And all this shit is connected. And so what I talked about, you know, expanding this Ukraine thing that's taking place, happening in Eastern Europe or the top of Asia, you know, which links so-called Europe to the West, with Asia, West Asia. In other words, Europe and Asia being referred to by one of the persons who is the Four Horsemen. And these old men, Samuel Huntington, who wrote a book called The Clash of Civilizations, and it actually was a paper that he wrote for the Council on Foreign Relations. And so he submitted this paper to the Council on Foreign Relations, and they liked the paper so much, it turned into a book. And in this book, he lays out what he means by the clash of civilizations. And in a nutshell, what he was saying, that the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant / Christian white Europeans versus everybody else. The one group that eventually will be a pain in the ass is the Muslims / so-called Middle East / Arab countries, who are seen as non-whites in their ethnological scale of the world populace. And so he laid out what the challenges were and what their objectives and their goals must be. And there's a section in there where it basically says the West versus the rest. Now, some of you may watch the news, you know, these news stations, these, you know, talking head pundits, you know, that do the bidding for the corporate control media, the corporate entities that we clearly understand by definition as oligarchical and fascism. Some know it as the plutocracy, simply named after Pluto, which was the smallest planet compared to the rest of them. And so what they're telling you, a small group of people, which reminds them of the planet Pluto. And so that is how that word got to be called plutocracy. So that's also how they're termed or they're defined by the critics. Some of these critics who have done, you know, fairly decent research on them. And the only reason why is because they see their little white lily world slowly but surely slipping through their grasp. And so now they're on this crusade to save our democracy, you know, to get it back to where it used to be. And so a black person would have to ask that question. What do you mean getting it back where how it used to be? And you point to me at what point on the timeline that this was a great country for me and my people. And the Negroes would step forward and try to challenge what I'm saying or find some kind of way to refute what I'm saying. Take some things and try to project them as larger than what they actually are. It's more than just them here. It's more, and sometimes we use this term nigger in the political sense. And I know there may be some who are sensitive to that term, to that word. But what we mean is a particular type of state of mind that acts out 500 years of frustration, decadence and neglect on the part of the state and even on the part of so-called leadership. And so you have these persons who define the state as it is. It's basically known as fascism. those who are sadly mistaken, believing that this is a democracy for the simple reason that they take the vote and, you know, project that on to the masses, and which is what, you know, gives them this illusion of a democracy. Okay, so now when you look at, you know, what takes place internationally and the blowback that it has upon, you know, working class people in this country, you know, and so how does the prices, how does a price of cost a loaf of bread expand, or a gallon of milk, or a carton of eggs, you know, even a bag of grits, you know, that a mother and the father is trying to wake up in the morning, you know, feed their children before they go off to school in the morning, you know, and how do these things come about, you know, how do they arise? And we feel and believe that when the people start understanding how this shit come about, then it will naturally create some type of attitude, which will lead to some type of motivation, because at some point they will no longer be able to sustain the shit unless the state, you know, tries these little token strategies to calm the people down, to cool the people out. It was referred to as shelling out the dough, as Eldridge Cleaver, who's National Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party, once said. And so, for instance, with the oil prices, with the gas prices, we're going to tie all this in, with the gas prices, for instance, you're looking at the Ukraine-Russian thing and how Biden makes the announcement that they're going to take X amount of millions of barrels of oil from the reserve to ease the pressure at the pumps. So let's take a look at it. Is that what happened? Is that what happened? You see, so it's just subterfuge. And the people in this country profess to be, you know, the leaders of the world, yet they're the slowest ones to move, to make a move against those who have dominated them. You see, I was talking to one of my comrades, and we was just talking about how, you know, the people that are doing what they're doing, and how the, you know, this 1% thing is Occupy Wall Street and whatnot, and that the other whites are angry and they're mad, and this man, other hardworking whites, and they, you know, they pay taxes and blah, 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 and so forth, and their beef is with the white ruling class is what? Is it a beef over the type of system, or is it a beef because the white ruling class don't pay taxes? You know, with these offshore accounts, or what's referred to as dark money, or shell games, where they have these resorts, you know, these foreign bank accounts set up in foreign lands. And the most famous, of course, those who may have heard, is the Cayman Islands. And you know, sometimes, you know, people get this impression about dope money. You know the dope dealers, the dope money. You know, the Cayman Islands, all these kind of things and whatnot, shit like that. But it ain't just them. It's a combination of things. And so, how they able to operate? And so, the rest of the whites is ticked off, and they want them to pay their fair share of taxes, and they would walk away. Well, we say not only that, you know, not only that, this thing about them paying their fair share of taxes, then according to their own Declaration of Independence, that this system should be demolished, dismantled, and replaced with one that's a humanistic system, to where people can exist and have a humanistic relationship with one another. And so it's in their own shit. But as far as black and brown people go, we know that it would be more than just that. You know, it's nothing like liberation. There have been those who have called themselves trying to replace the bad guys and end up being the dictators themselves. So we say jackass or elephant. You know, they're both parties controlled by the same hidden forces that operate around the world. And these same hidden forces, they use the military-industrial complex to dominate people around the world. We'll get into this thing about the Ukraine war. You know, the Ukraine war was basically precipitated by the United States about 3 years ago. The whole purpose and tactic, as they had taken that advice from Samuel P. Huntington out of his writing, and also was another book that I mentioned last week, referred to as the Grand Chess Board, written by some dude named Zbigniew Brzezinski, whose name appears to be somewhere along, you know, Ukrainian and Russian or whatever. Well, this book, The Grand Chess Board, of course, which is what I mentioned in the subtitle, American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Imperatives. And I said that Brzezinski used the term expression of the Eurasian plate. And his forecast for the future, what he sees as America's continual imperial dominance, being the most powerful country, having the, you know, the world's most powerful military and whatnot, and the challenges that lie ahead, similar just like Samuel P. Huntington had talked about. Real quickly, there's two others that come into focus. An old European who identifies himself with the Jewish segment of the white society, named Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger doesn't have a side, whether it's Democrat or Republican. Henry Kissinger is a Hegelian who practiced Machiavellianism. Now, these terms, I don't believe that I can say these terms and they can be so alien. What I believe is that mentioning these terms, that the average brother and sister can also embrace these terms in order to understand the game. And so much so that I believe also that these two terms would somehow get, you know, black and brown people to understand what it's truly about, and that they will overthrow the leadership that has been handed down to them, that has been handpicked, that has been carved out, that has been shaped and molded for them for the past 100 years. And we would have to look at them and suspect something at least suspicious for here. So, well, there's a group that speaks to these terms that we've never heard of before. And we're wondering why when you go around, sir, so-and-so, and giving lectures all over the country and talking about equality and justice and brotherhood and sisterhood and kicking back our country and keeping our democracy going, making Trump the bad guy, but yet you won't tell the people, mention these two terms that this group I heard talking about on a radio show. And you would have to question them. You would have to suspect something suspicious. It can't be but one of two things. Either this nigga understand this shit and he keeping it from you, or he don't, which means he got to go back to the drawing board like everybody else had to do. It's simple as that. It's as simple as that. We don't need Dr. Phil to explain none of this shit. We don't need Columbo. We don't need Inspector Gadget, none of them, you know, to say, hey, this is what it is, and these niggas ain't told us, so let's overthrow them. We have to take care of this internal shit and deal with the people who have sold us down the river and not have provided the type of political education and understanding that we must have in order to liberate ourselves. In the meantime, we're given entertainment and games, you know, which serves well for those who live in a particular class. And it must be said, you know, the whites have had their class struggles for years, okay? And we've unfortunately, as a collective group, have been affected in such a way to where we emulate the colonizer. We emulate the slave master. So therefore, their lack of informing us with the correct shit and getting us to understand, well, what is Machiavellianism? What is Hegelianism? What do these terms derive from? What do they do? How do they affect us? You know, in such foreign language, what have you. And so what we're saying is, it was people like Brzezinski and one other person, David Rockefeller. And David Rockefeller himself, of course, you have these autobiographies or these official biographies and written of these persons or whatever. And the old saying, of course, that I've said before, you want to hide something from black people, you know, you put it in a book. You know, you put it in the book, and then you really want to hide it from them, you go stick the book in the library, you know. And so David Rockefeller himself said, if I have been charged with being the mastermind behind the New World Order, then so be it, I stand accused, as he had stated, you know, in the interview or when he was being interviewed or you know, talked with and so forth, in order to be able to write this biography of him, you know. And so it was those four that set about to be the four horsemen behind this U.S. imperialism and using the military-industrial complex to legitimize their imperialism, as I said, under bringing freedom to oppressed people, the dictators around the world, the same dictators that they bred on the phone, you know. And so this Ukraine thing, Brzezinski talked about the Eurasian plate, and whoever can control it would control it into the 21st century and so forth and dominate the earth. They'd come to understand that Russia, during this era of energy studies, you know, using the spy network system on the Russian landmass, and understand the day that off into the future that Russia had been in possession of incredible vast amounts of oil. And so Russia being more to the east in the so-called orb of the Oriental societies or civilization or what have you, you know, having India and China, you know, in the same similar vicinities. And of course, you know, the Russians embracing socialism back, you know, during the days of Vladimir Lenin, which is now referred to as Leninism. And Lenin had wrote a book called The State and Revolution. And then another book where he wrote, he says, Imperialism, the Highest Stage of Capitalism. And so when you read this book, his understanding, you find that he hit it right on the head. And so the Europeans, the so-called West, which is what Brzezinski and Huntington was talking about, he said the West versus the rest. And so in layman's terms, he was just simply saying the whites versus the non-whites. And that this would lie along the lines also of the continued religious war between the Christians and the Muslims, which has been going on for 1,000 years. And so this new shit about war on terrorism is just an extension of the Christian war against the Muslims, because as we speak today, it is understood that the hugest, largest religious mass of people today practice Islam. And that is another thing that has been a thorn in the side, a pain in the ass to the so-called West, because they have refused to acquiesce, simply because the Muslims understand through their Quran such things as jihad. And what is jihad? Jihad just simply means that those who make war on ourselves, make war on us, we must defend ourselves through jihad. The same thing as George Washington talking shit about King of England was a tyrant and they were under tyranny, and so they made war on them, you know, and so forth. So we say African people of African descent, the state has made war on us, is our right to liberate ourselves, you know, in a war against them. You know, simple as that. You know, straight or not, this may be rather strong language, but what I'm saying to you is that all groups of people, whether they're black, brown, red, or yellow, have the right to extricate themselves. If it can be established and done peacefully, so be it. But we understand those who control and those who dominate, they don't understand peace. They don't know what peace is. They don't respect peace. But they'll give you their version of peace. But as long as the structure doesn't change, the order of operation, you know, stays intact. And this is why we say, you know, this so-called first black president and all the euphoria. I said, okay, we'll give them a few seconds, enjoy it. Okay, come Monday, we right back on the plantation. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You see what I'm saying? So as I was saying, this war, Russia making war on Ukraine is simply geostrategic moves. Same geostrategic moves that the West has understood that they would have to make. Putin understood the same shit. Vladimir Putin derived from the KGB, and before that, Vladimir Putin was a gangster, you know, on the streets of Russia. And so he went from there to there to there, you know, and he's now the president of what they refer to as Russia. And some of us forget that Russia was formerly known as the USSR, you know, United Soviet Socialist Republics. And if you ask these Republicans here, what do they tell you? That this is a republic. So if they had the right to have a republic, then the Russians also felt that they had the right to have a republic, which is what USSR stands for. So if you look at an old map and look at the USSR, and you'll see Ukraine sitting down there to the west, more south to the west, and you'll see that the old map shows the USSR. And Ukraine was once part of the USSR. Now, as I said, during World War I and World War II, the U.S. and Britain and Russia claiming to be allies. In World War II, the same shit, claiming to be fighting you against the evil Axis or what have you. And how overnight those who they claimed were their enemies had become their allies overnight. And those who said that they was their allies overnight had become their enemies. And so who could understand that? Lest we have those in our midst to say, hey, you know, what's this international shit? You know, what is the Cold War? You know, explain that to us. You know, how does it affect us? You know, how does it affect us, you know? And so Russia became the enemy overnight and Germany became the ally overnight. And also Alan Dulles had once said, Alan Dulles was once the leader of the CIA. During the days of John F. Kennedy, had become the leader of the CIA, if not before. But at one point, Alan Dulles, when they were discussing the war in their private meetings away from the public, Alan Dulles had simply told them that we're fighting on the wrong side. He told them that we're fighting on the wrong side. And what did he mean by that? He said that they should have been fighting against the Russians and not the Germans. And so, see, this would make no sense to the average brother and sister when it came down to understanding this international shit. And the only place where they can get it from, you know, is the TV, you know, is the CNN and what have you, you know. And you'd have to be a complete fool to think that they would literally tell you the true history of these wars that have taken place, you know. And so General Smedley Butler gave this speech referred to as the war, a war as a racket. And you can listen to that online and listen to what he's saying, how these wars have basically been a racket for the for the rich. What we would say as People's Political Party, as a bunch of white bastards who don't give a shit about us as a people, period. And there will be some poor whites who would say, oh, they don't also give a shit about us too. Okay, well, you have a class war. And so if you listen to that, he explains to you, you know, the true purpose and politics behind these wars. That the military-industrial complex, what Eisenhower had referred to it as, you know? And so Ukraine being a part of Russia, and you try to understand how the country of Ukraine or the state of Ukraine had become separate from the USSR. And so you have to go back and understand what took place, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, when Ronald Reagan had become president or selected by, you know, these hidden forces that our leaders don't let us be privy to understanding, but amongst themselves. You know, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group. The Bilderberg Group was just simply named after a hotel called Hotel de Bilderberg in a place in Holland. It was a lesser-known European country referred to as Holland. And they met there somewhere around 64, 67. And the leaders of industry, capital, finance, economics, and what have you, got together, you know, military, what have you, and set up a group, and that they would agree to meet annually in different parts around the world. And so all the big wigs came, and they were the ones who would set up these things after the 60s. You know, and so this is how these things come about. And so with the breakup of Russia, the breakup of Russia was orchestrated by the devaluation of the Russian ruble and with the help of the CIA and the infiltration of Russia on one end, you know, they're telling us that there's a war on drugs, you know, this incredible amounts of money that they spend, you know, to fight drugs and, you know, trying to clean up our neighborhoods of drug dealers and all this kind of shit. And that, you know, this cosmetic, you know, this appeal, this mass appeal, you know, about the dangers of drugs and how drugs is destroying the black community and so forth and all this kind of shit. Black men are in prison more than any other male groups in the country. On one end, and on the other end, here they are. Here they are, hand in glove, you know, with the various mafias around the world, you know. And so the inside job to dismantle the USSR, and some of you, well, it may be those of us, rather, who are old enough to remember in the 80s, Ronald Reagan, you know, having this speech or some shit, some prepared line, you know, Gorbachev, you know, tear down that wall, you know, some shit like that, you know, these different things that they use, you know, to get the people to believe in this this growing menace in the East that threatens American democracy. You know, we've heard it before, you know, and so. You know, the move was made to dismantle the USSR, and they were successful at it. And so this is how the USSR was broken up. In the meantime, social engineering, all the other states. And if you look at a map, you see Ukraine sitting right there. And what's to the left of Ukraine? And what's to the right of Ukraine? Ukraine literally sits in the middle between NATO and Russia. Now, the U.S. has, for decades, has split the line to their people, you know, split the line to their people about the growing threat of communism. Communism is at our doorstep. It's right next door to us in South America. is right next door to us in Cuba, and the evil Castro, you know, the dictator Castro. But yet, do our leaders tell us that before the dictator Castro, there was another dictator that was there in Cuba. And this dictator was placed there and backed by the CIA and America for the longest. And so the Cubans, just like George Washington and the gang, had enough of that shit. The same tyranny, you see? And so they made up their minds, you know? And so Batista was thrown out, and Castro took over and instituted socialism. And so it was at their doorstep in South America, you know, the threat of communism, you know, on their doorsteps. America has expanded all the way into Eastern Europe, Central Europe, in disguise as NATO. The Anglo-American establishment, which is referred to basically the two countries of Britain and America, you know, as the leaders of NATO. It's as simple as that. Some white nations got together, 40-something of them got together, and they set up some shit in a place called Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. You know, and more times than not, these meetings for somehow, some kind of way seem to take place in America. The UN is in New York. You know, Bretton Woods was set up in the Eastern Corridor of America. You know, somehow, some kind of way. And so 1944 and the winning years of the war. You know, they got themselves together, and basically it was a bunch of white people got together and said, look here, the way we going, the way things is looking in the future, we going to wind up stepping on some toes. You know, these niggas and jungle bunnies or what have you, you know, these spooks, these primitives, these pagans, they're going to get angry, and they're going to want their shit back. And so what are we going to do? We set ourselves up. And we can legitimize it and say the world, you know, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's just basically the Eastern, Western, North Atlantic, and the East Atlantic, the two countries that would tie them in together. You know what I'm saying? And so that is how NATO was set up, you know. And then they eventually, you know, Bretton Woods, you know, in around the same period, you know. At first it started off as the League of Nations. It started off as the League of Nations. And the League of Nations was set up. Now, in the beginning, the League of Nations was set up, and it didn't have America's imprint on it, so America declined to join it. And so it was restructured. That is how it became the United Nations, and then placed in New York, right? And so this Bretton Woods thing set up a pact, and out of that came what is referred to as the petrodollar. And this is what we going to go into in the last segment, to get our people to understand what is this petrodollar. You know, petro is a word for rock, you know, in the European languages. We may know it in the English-speaking countries as Peter, you know, in the Bible, Peter. The Spanish-speaking people may say it as Pedro, you know, compadre, you know, just to give you some type of understanding. But it simply means, you know, rock. You're talking about geology and, of course, the extrication of oil in the earth. So that's pretty much why it became known as the petrodollar. So, you know, we speak it and, oh, yo, man, look, you know, I'm going to get some petrol, and then we going to roll. You know? So we know that term. And just that alone shows you how we've internalized, you know, their terms. You know, just that alone, and we don't realize what we're saying, you know, because our leadership hasn't done shit to, you know, to educate us, you know, is on a need-to-know basis. You know, they practice the Machiavellian principle, too, you know, that Machiavelli was instructing the prince that he was talking to during his time on how to keep and maintain his shit, you know, and so they're practicing this same Machiavellian tactic among our own people. You know what I'm saying? And so, right on, Conrad. So with that, you know, having set themselves up. Now, so you got Ukraine in the middle, Russia to the right, and, you know, NATO. And so at one point, the Ukraine was building its, you know, military technological know-how. You know, they were receiving, you know, equipment, you know, and what have you, you know, with Russia right there next door. And so years ago, the Ukraine had struck a deal with NATO, with the U.S., with the U.S., right? And it was basically a deal that to cajole Ukraine into giving up their military arsenal, you know, their nuclear arsenal in exchange for aid and whatnot and all this type of shit. And so Ukraine agreed, and the Russians realized that, and the Russians were understanding it just like the U.S. is understanding the same thing they was claiming. And so here they are at their doorstep. And so Vladimir Putin clearly stated from the beginning that he sees that this is an act of aggression against Russia, you know, and encroachment upon the Russian borders. And this is simply no more than a game of chess. It is not this thing that they're showing you on TV. You know, of course, propaganda is very powerful. What Putin is doing, the U.S. has done on a way huge, larger scale to gain its colonies in an indirect, more clandestine way. You see, they've gone around and invaded nations, like they went and invaded Grenada. They went and invaded Haiti. They invaded Panama. So what was the excuse of invading Panama? Oh, getting rid of a drug dealer named Manuel Noriega. How did Manuel Noriega get installed in Panama? Manuel Noriega was taught and trained to finance and everything else by the CIA. And that is why the drugs could not be stopped from coming into this country. And this is what Gary Webb was murdered over. You know, Gary Webb wrote a book called The Dark Alliance. And he went he went paid a visit, you know, to the real Rick Ross, you know, the dope dealer, you know, in prison, and he talked with him. And that's my audio. And he gets Rick Ross to, you know, give up the scoop, the real shit, you know, that our leaders won't go near. You know, but at the same time, talking that shit about some contract with Black America, you know, we going to make it, keep hope alive, and quote Dr. King, all that other shit, you know, but you're not telling our youth how it really works and how it really goes, you know, for fear of retribution or your own selfish purpose and agenda of keeping you and your clique together. And there's that, you know, this our drama, the latest one, you know, that has come behind Empire, Our Kind of People. And that is actually the name of a real book, Our Kind of People, written by Lawrence Otis Graham, who is on the inside. He's a Freemason. He belongs to the frat and everything else, you know. So he wrote that book, and he talked about these Black families, you know, the Black wealthy rich families and the things they do, you know, the little clubs that they have, you know, imitating the Skull and Bones that was birthed out of Yale University. You know, Yale College, you know, one of the Ivy League schools and stuff, you know, but they, you know, that's as far as they willing to go so-called be Black until every 4 years they need the same niggas that they neglect in favor of their own selfish purpose and selfish needs. And yeah, this is a takeover, it's not a makeover, you know, so due to their reluctance to educate our people, to get our people to understand how this shit really works. Ukraine being played as a pawn, you see their leader asking the NATO for equipment. You know, it was set from day one. It was set from day one. You know, asking for military equipment. You know, they was asking for, you know, help. You know, fighters. You know, and whatnot. And right out of the gate, You know, all the media pundits talking heads like, oh yeah, well, you know, the State Department, is not going to provide this, that, and other. And of course, they knew that that's an act of war. That's a declaration of war, and they were, in this sense, they may be a little crazy, but they ain't stupid either. Because they understand how the shit works. They understand how it goes. Now, this has been talked about, been predicted, you know, Russia, China, you know, the fastest growing collective in the world as we speak today. So, of course, you know, they have to villainize the Russians. They have to villainize the Chinese. It's never faceted up society. You see the Australian Open, the U.S. Open, Wimbledon, all this kind of shit, the tennis tournament. So these, the Russian players were banned from the tournament. You know, or had to play under a flagless, you know, banner, you know, and just play as so and so and all that kind of shit. I mean, from everything. Look, man, when the French wouldn't go in into this fiasco and violate international law and go into Iraq with America and the Brits. You know, these honkies here had the nerve enough to rename the French fry to the Freedom Fry, you know, to show their displeasure with the Russians. I mean, with the French. You know, the type of shenanigans that the Americans, you know, can do and pull, and it's cool. And somebody else does it, should have seen extremism, fundamentalism, terrorism, of course, you know, at worst, you know, but that's simply what this Ukraine thing is all about. A resource war and an encroachment of NATO upon Russia, because the Russians have recovered from what was done to them by the so-called West. You know, at the same time, they're claiming democracy. If one has a democracy and you go in and destroy their shit, then what does that say about yours? They did it in Chile, you know, in 1973, 9/11. That was the first 9/11. You know, a democratically elected president in Chile. You know, you had him murdered. You know, the people in Venezuela democratically voted for who they wanted in office. You attempted to overthrow him once or twice, and it failed both times. So around the world, and of course to do what? To use the military, you know, leaders of industry. What is it about? The oil, these resource wars, the Congo. That's why you can't look nowhere in Africa where they have these incredible amounts of resources and not see some type of wars taking place. The French have attempted to reclaim northern Africa and the murder of Gaddafi in Libya. And that ties, you know, everything into is referred to as the petrodollar. They established the U.S. currency as the world currency, you know, to trade, you know, the foreign exchange and trade, you know. And, of course, that will leave other nations at a disadvantage. You not expect these other nations to feel some kind of way where your currency is the value. Here, I have a dollar, and I go and get a fucking pesos, and the pesos is 46 cents. Who you think is at a disadvantage here? You know, so what happened with these other nations have learned to figure like the Chinese yuan. You know, this is what they're talking about today. And so if you go online and you read some of these things with these people or ask questions and shit, and you can tell to somebody, you know, that's in the clearly mind control, you know, you know, the U.S. dollar is the strongest, the best currency in the world for this on the international trade, and this is the safest, and it prevents this and it prevents that. But the people feeling that shit right here in their pocket. They feeling it at the gas station. You see, so it's how it works. It's how it, you know, fluctuate, go up and down. And this is what was referred to as the petrodollar. So they established the petrodollar, you know, the trade. Exchange your currency for mine, and then you can go and buy oil from OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. And so when OPEC in the 70s, in the 60s, you know, had saw the direction that this shit was going, you know, the Arab nations, you know, once they look at the Arab nations, along with, you know, some countries in Central America in particular, like Venezuela, Right. So this is, if you look at the OPEC nation, these are the very same nations that the wars have been attempted to be carried out on, or overthrows. Just go take a look at them. You see, and so when these nations saw the future imbalance here, and that it will you know, the pendulum would swing against them, shit, they said we raising the rent. You see, and so what happened? The shit caused a crisis. That's how it affects us. It caused a crisis. You see, this is what they referred to as a recession. You know, back in the stock market crash, I think in the 20s, it caused a crisis. And who paid for it? The people paid for it. The people paid for it. You know, this is where these programs, you know, free lunch, free soup lines and all this kind of shit come from. You know, what they have, you know, the food pantry, you know, and the rise in the basic necessities, you know, of life at a handful of people who want to dominate people overseas, non-whites overseas. So when the blowback came, that's what happened. And it's coming again. It's been happening. It's coming again. It's happening right now. So the blowback. Now these countries have figured this shit out. No longer will they serve under a system of the U.S. dollar after having been double crossed when it came to these countries trusting the U.S. Withholding all the gold at Fort Knox. So in the 60s, the French had rolled the battleship over into the. I believe the Eastern Corridor, and said, look here, load our gold on here. And so what did Nixon do? He said, okay, well, look, he give a speech and said, we're temporarily stopping the gold standard in order, you know, to back, you know, currency, the nation's currency. And so they did this strategic move. You know, because these other nations starting to figure this shit out that y'all couldn't honor, you know, this utopian idea that y'all set up in 44, and we trusted y'all. And so these other nations are starting to rebel. You see, especially, you know, the so-called Middle Eastern countries, you know, the nine European countries, you know the Arabic speaking peoples and stuff like that. And so you take a look at Saddam, you know, in general. The authorized use of corporate control media tell you that Saddam was murdered. I mean, that Saddam was removed from office. It's a brutal dictatorship. And, of course, they had to find a way, you know, to justify going. And so what did they do? They whipped up the story about the weapons of mass destruction, you know, and so there were no weapons of mass destruction. And so the guy who headed the team, whose name escapes, and it'll come to me, but he headed the, you know, this unit that goes in. You know, and they said it was nothing. So he wrote his report, and he told the truth. What did they do? Okay, well, so can you won't hold the narrative. Said, all right, well, we're going to leak the name of your wife, who works as an undercover CIA around the world, and so now she got a bounty on her head, Valerie Plame. You see, so that's how that worked. Okay, so what did Saddam do? Saddam said, look here, first order of business, this is what we're going to do. I've woken up, and I've realized that these Europeans we'll let all us starve. We'll let all us go into hunger. Madeleine Albright, who served under, I believe, Clinton, and the strategy, the tactic that they use, a million people died on her watch. And when they asked her, on off the record, they asked her, how did she feel about that, knowing that she starved a million people? What did she tell them? She said, shit, America's interest is more stronger and more important than some children dying. Off the record. Off the record. Yes, this is a democracy. A defender of democracy. Off the record. You see? And so whether it's Democrat or Republican. You know what I'm saying? So you know, Saddam had figured it out. You know, and so what did he do? He said, look here. We about to get off this U.S. dollar standing, and we about to deal in gold. We're going to create a currency. Now, check this out. If you want this shit, you got to pay us in gold. And that was the moment right there. That was the moment right there. All this other shit about Saddam trying to kill my daddy. You know, he tried to assassinate my dad. This is George Bush Jr. that was talking. You know, he tried to, man, they tried to assassinate my dad. You know, the Kuwaiti war, you know, the war in Kuwait, you know, that one of our comrades had served in, you know, and he admitted, he said he didn't even understand the politics. All you know, he was there, you know. he said he didn't understand. So sitting down, started talking, explaining to him, and he was like, man, I feel like a fool. I said, it's all right. I said, it's all right. I said, we're supposed to have the type of leadership that's supposed to educate us and our communities, our people, the, you know, the guidance. So we're gonna chalk that up to them, hold them responsible for the lack of educating us, so we understand. You know, we're grown-ass men, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old, we have no understanding. You know, and so we, you know, our sons going off in the military, whatever, whatnot, stuff like that. You know, so many brothers fed their sons, I'd rather send them to the military, man, before the streets get to them. I said, okay, well, you send them to the military, the streets get to them, so you make these white men over there, these rich white men who could care less about you and your son, and they make more, gain more assets and more monetary value. You know, and you and your son struggling. You know, I say we create our own people on. You know, straight up. And so Saddam and Iraq, you know, it's okay. Well, we ain't dealing no more of that shit. And I'm going to show you, you know, they had a hit list. They had a hit list. And the hit list only came about because these countries, oil-producing countries, it only came about because they changed the monetary value of exchange. You know, so they're going back on the gold standard, and this thing with Nixon declaring, you know, giving a speech, but we temporarily suspending, you know, the gold standard. You know, shit, he said that shit in 1973, 1971. How long has it been? Well, how long is temporary? You see? And so the printing of a paper money, you know, was referred to as fiat. Some of us may know that name by the little car called fiat. You know what I'm saying? But that's just simply what is referred to as fiat, you know, baseless, worthless currency with no backing, because there's no backing in gold. You see, so it's worth. That's why you see some of these commercials late at night. When you see this white man come on on some of these channels and they do these little infomercials, like, you know, and he's sitting there and he takes it. You ever? Oh, this, that, and he's warning people. He's warning people in this country about, look, this shit is coming. This crash, this recession, and people are taking that shit for granted. But they're starting to see it at the Walmarts and stuff now. So he's saying to people, look, you know, get your gold, you know, get gold. And you know, some people out there hustling. These little dudes out there hustling, and got their hand on somebody gold, you know, whatever, broken burglaries and that shit like that. And what the first thing they do, they go on pawning it. And they don't understand now. You so good, man. That shit ain't cool. It's wrong, man. Because it could be my house. You can fuck around and be mad. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, you know, people getting their hands on gold, but don't even understand the true nature of it. But they know that you should get a couple hundred dollars for it. You know what I'm saying? But that's what took place. These other nations are coming out from underneath that shit. So Gaddafi did the same thing in Libya. It was only when Gaddafi come out from under, you know, this shit said, look, we part of OPEC. So if you want to buy oil, you have to buy it in gold. So he meant it was referred to as the dinar, D-I-N-A-R. It's a coin, like you know, like a quarter, you know, about that size, but it made out of gold. So Libya had tons of gold. Putin has tons of gold. So it was about the gold and the establishment of a central bank so you can control the currency, you know, using the petrol dollar. That's why it's called the petrol dollar. So they understood the history. They know Libya. They understand, okay, well, how did Gaddafi come to office? Gaddafi did the same thing that George Washington did. He did the same thing that George Washington did. You know, and so he had a system. He set up a system. He had these councils. It's called the Green Book. And right in the green book, I remember reading this line. We were talking about the world revolution going to take place at some point in time, you know, because of the conditions and things that is leading to, similar to what Lenin had talked about when he was talking about, you know, imperialism, the highest age of capitalism, or neocolonialism, as Kwame Nkrumah talked about, the highest age of capitalism. And he was speaking that because he was on a continent of Africa, how Africa was colonized, you know, by the pretty much, you know, the core group that became NATO, you know, how they met in Berlin, the Berlin Conference, you know, and they set up this, you know, they called themselves trying to carve up Africa among themselves, and like the shit was cool, and like nobody was there, you know. This is a term that they use, you know, like null and void, you know, Terra Nullius, you know, Terra Nullius is the term they use, you know, to you know, to get the rest of, you know, the primitives in Europe, you know, to believe that this was all right, you know. So these are core nations who are now enlarged as NATO. So Nkrumah was speaking about neocolonialism. And so the wars that have been carried out there through the military-industrial complex, the overthrows and stuff, the assassination, the murder of Patrice Lumumba in the early 60s, around 61. Africa was on fire. You had the Algerian Revolution in northern Africa, and they were fighting who? The French. So you see right now today, what are the French doing? The French are using Machiavellian, Hegelian tactics and stuff, you know, to try to get back their holdings or losing grip of it. You know, so they go there and do what? They go there and establish what? They go there and establish proxy wars, just like Smedley Butler had stated and explained. And this is, so you go look in Africa right now, then you see what they're trying. Some of it's partially religious, partially tribal. When you take the indigenous black groups that's there, no motherfuckers won't take no shit. You know what I'm saying? And pit them against the Muslims. You know, then you come in and make it look like the Muslims is slaughtering them. And then you come in with the French army. You know, it's a Machiavellian tactic. It's a Machiavellian tactic all the way, straight up, you know. And so that's how it works. So with Gaddafi, okay, well, look, shit, but before they murdered Gaddafi, Gaddafi was interviewed by this an Indian woman that used to be on CNN. You know, she's like up there now. She's like one of those, you know, how they make them turn them into, after so many years they work, they become the correspondent of the White House or Washington or whatever, international correspondent, some shit like that. I forget her name, but she used to be on CNN, and she interviewed Gaddafi, and hardly anybody has watched that interview with Gaddafi. And Gaddafi literally laughing at her. He literally like laughing. She's asking these ridiculous questions. He's literally laughing at her. And so what they do, they go set up a pseudo revolution. They go set up a pseudo revolution. And so they refer to it as Arab Spring, a pseudo revolution. What do? They meet in New York. They, you know, they these ruffians who they social engineer unique MK Ultra program, mind control program. What do? They bring them in and literally sit them down in these classes and instruct them in revolution. They get the logo and they take the Black Power fist and they turn the logo. They turn the logo into a fighting banner, and then they hijack the red, black, and green colors, you know, and they go up in there. And so, you know, the CIA, you know, the MI6, Mossad organizations and groups, and, you know, they even somebody was hip to them enough, smart enough, and went out there with video, you know, with video equipment, and literally videoed them in the crowd, literally video. And the same thing was done in Ukraine some years ago, literally undercovers, you know, intelligence officers dressing just like the people, to start the shit off. They did it in Venezuela, the same shit. You know, they put snipers up there and made it and shooting at their own officers, you see. And this is a cutthroat tactic. This is how it works. And so they did a similar thing like this. It did in Libya. It did in Libya. And the corporate controlled media showed these minority groups that they had, you know, is opposition everywhere. And so this is the stock and trade that the CIA has learned to utilize time and again. And so what the corporate media does, they show a minority crowd, and then they project it onto world media and say the people of Libya is against Gaddafi. Well, yet somebody else will shoot some independent video footage that now one of those news stations would touch, which showed the overwhelming majority of the people wasn't being filmed and was against the shit that was taking place, and they was in support of Gaddafi. And so they murdered Gaddafi indirectly. You know, they found Gaddafi in this hole. You know, and of course they were giving the intelligence up. And these are the same people and the same similar tactics. In the meantime, at the same time, they telling the people in this country about the threat of ISIS, the war on terrorism, and protecting our freedoms. You know, here in America, you know, the free world. Machiavellian tactics. Same Machiavellian tactic. And the funny part about that is this here. He claimed Gaddafi is a dictator, a brutal dictator. One way they tried to do it was flood Libya with ISIS. And so Gaddafi, knowing him and understanding his years of experience with the CIA, he knew their every move. So what did he do? He rounded their ass up and throwing them in prison. Yeah, Gaddafi. Gaddafi was throwing them in prison. That's what he was doing. He was the one that was cutting ISIS off. You know, this. I'm telling you, man, this is a cutthroat business. But again, due to the lack of education on the part of those who have been supposed to have that job, you know, to educate our people. You see what I'm saying? It'll never get out unless it takes little people like us, you know, who don't count on a mainstream scale, you know, where somebody can, you know, turn their TV on and see people that look like us, you know, and see PPP up there, or any other group for that matter, any other revolutionary declared group, a militant group, black national revolutionary group, or whatever, pan-Africanist group, you know, and so we got to do what we got to do, you know. So here you have the assassination of Gaddafi. Nah. What's the first thing they went after? They did two things. And believe it or not, I'm taking straight, they did two things that happened in Libya. They went after Gaddafi's, they went after the gold. When they went in Iraq, this is Operation, whatever that shit was, Shocking or whatever it was, something, whatever. You know, when they went in at night, what did they do? What the first things that they went after in there? But the first thing they went in to get control of and seize was the oil fields. What did Saddam do that evening? Saddam set them all on fire. If they were going after a dictator, right, do you go after the oil field first or do you go after get the dictator? No, it wasn't about Saddam. It was about seizing those oil fields and putting them out. That's what the shit was about. So you can go get any other one of them niggas, you know, and ask them. Yes, we must understand international politics too at times, whether we like it or not. I know this ain't we ain't on here talking about who gonna win the Super Bowl, who the greatest NBA player of all fucking time. Is it LeBron? Is it Kobe? Is it Michael Jordan? You know, niggas ain't give a shit about they people, period. Contrary to what we're told, you know, this is a real man, you know, man. You know, people still feeling some kind of way about the death of Kobe. You know, condolences to his family, you know, as a human being. But this shit is politics, straight up. You know, but anyway, yeah, you know, we ain't on here talking about, you know, who Kim the whore sleeping with now, you know, and so forth, you know, and their whore mama. You know, we ain't on here talking about that. You know, we ain't here talking about things that's pertinent to us collectively as a group. You know what I'm saying? So there'll be some separation. They want to go, these niggas want to go, let them go that way. We on this shit. It's more us than it is them. And at some point in time, they're going to have to depend on somebody. They're going to have to depend on something. This George Floyd shit showed them something, and it should have showed them something. But this is what we on here talking about tonight. Because we feel that our people can understand this shit too. You know? So like I say, you know, the murder of Gaddafi and the season of his growth. Now, what was that thing they did? Shit, they were busting ISIS out of prison. And all them weapons. The Benghazi episode. The Benghazi episode was no more, no less than a move on the weapons that they had. They used a politician. He was a sacrifice. He was a sacrifice. Hillary Clinton tried to have a computer wipe clean. You know, they got that shit there. They put her in front of those kangaroo court, the little sham entertainment circus. You know, nobody goes to prison. None of that shit there. You know, but that whole Benghazi thing was about what? You know, so next thing you know, all these Americans is asking, well, shit, ISIS is taking photos and pictures. You know, they taking photos and pictures with weapons and people zoom in and shit on the pictures and realizing those American-made weapons. So how did they get them? How did they get them? You see, that's what that shit was about. Under Obama's watch, quickly. Operation Fast and Furious. Under Obama's watch. Yes, a black president under his watch. That Operation Fast and Furious. What was Fast and Furious about? Fast and Furious is simply about, you know, shit, giving weapons and logistics equipment to Sentinel or whatever it is, you know, in exchange for information on so-called rival groups, just a future reference in case they need to take one of them down. A purely Machiavellian tactic. Purely Machiavellian tactic. Yeah. It's the same shit keep repeating itself. So what's wrong with the people in this country? What's wrong with the people in this country? You know, project themselves around the world as the most educated, most intelligent, most smart, all this other shit. So what's wrong with the people in this country? You know? What's wrong with the picture? You see what I'm saying? And so that episode there is what took place. And so how you connect all of this, you know, you confiscate these regions, these countries, OPEC, shit, you can dominate and rule just like Brzezinski said. You know, you don't have to pay. You know, you pay, and the bread, the milk, carton of eggs and everything, gas stay cheap. You pay. You know, but when the blowback comes, the people pay. That's why that shit like it is. So how long will the people sustain this before they bust, before they break? You know, now the one thing, you know, I understand this here. Europeans are the minority group on this planet. Okay, now Europeans are slow to move and act on each other in a sense. Some people say, well, how could you say that, man? This is the white people fighting each other in Ukraine and Russia right now, white people. You know, why explain that? But what I'm saying is the things that one group of Europeans is doing affecting people around the world and the shit that's going on here. We believe that if it was Arabs that was doing it, we believe that if the Arabs, if the 1% was just Arabs, or the 1% that they claim to be doing out there, Occupy Washington, we believe that if that 1% was East Asians, like North Koreans or Chinese or people in Taiwan or whatever, we believe it'd be blood flowing in the streets. But because the 1% is these white groups who share a blood-kin relationship with the larger white group, we believe that the larger white groups is hesitant to make a move on them, you know, to alleviate not only their problems, but to pitch in and alleviate the problems of black and brown people, non-white people. So, you know, slogans and party lines and liberalism and apologizing whites, philanthropy, libertarianism, all this other shit, you know, I'm with you, you know, Black Lives Matter t-shirt, you know what I'm saying, in exchange. You know, we say enough of that shit. We done been through too much. We want the same thing that George Washington wanted for his people, and we have a right to it. We have a right to it. We don't care what nobody say. We got a fucking right to it. It's our human right. It's our human right. There's no civil right, none of that shit. It's a human right. We're the original people of this earth. We've been here first. It's on this planet first. And it's our right to reclaim our humanity so we can gain back our some type of sense of self, you know, some type of humility, you know, which leads to peace. You know, we can learn to be humans again and practice our culture. You know, those of us who want to move back to the continent, you know, go back and forth, dual citizenship. You know, we want to learn Swahili. We ain't from no goddamn France. We don't want to learn French. We want to learn Swahili. You know, we ain't Spanish speakers either. We ain't from Spain, is what I'm saying to you. We ain't from Spain. No. So you can teach Spain and French. Well, shit, where's our language at? You tell us this great melting pot, it's multicultural exchange shit, multiculturalism, blah, 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 in our schools and all this kind of stuff. But where's the Swahili class at then? It's all right, you know. But that's pretty much, you know, what it is, you know, to give some kind of explanation and understand. You know, and of course, you know, this Russian war, Ukraine thing, it is no more than this a strategic move, and the Russians have regained their strength. The Russians have the oil. The Russians have been exporting oil to NATO, some NATO countries, Germany. This is why Germany has been a little hesitant, a little reluctant, you know, to make a move on the Russians. So they got to stay in the gray area a little bit. You know, they got to talk a little shit with NATO, and then they got to talk a little shit with the Russians, and back and forth. They're in one heck of a predicament. We love it. We appreciate it. We love it. You know, let them duke it out straight up, you know. But Putin ain't no more evil than Biden and Trump and all the rest of them. And as a matter of fact, I said it before, Trump and Biden's brother, they have business dealings with the Russian mob like a whole lot of other people do. The shit just ain't making the news. It only makes its news when the Democrats get in control and they try to expose something the Russians doing. When the Republicans get in office, they try to expose the Democrats, the shit that they doing and whatnot. You swore it was just the Democrats. And then when the Democrats get in office, get control, and they little CNN, Anderson Cooper, and Don Lemon, you know, who, whatnot, whatever, you know, they get to running their little show about the Republicans, and you got Hannity on Fox and that other crazy bitch, Laura, whatever her name is, you know, on Fox, going back and forth. I mean, complete lunatics, you know, and it's entertainment. It's entertainment. It's entertainment, you know. So I'm going to stop right there. You know, we hope, that we were able to, you know, kind of a decent picture to give some understanding why prices, how it affects, you know, when they can make the dollar they make the dollar rise. I mean, they can literally make the shit rise up and down, go back and forth, and it affects the people at home. You know, this blaming the COVID for everything. Oh, it's a classic excuse. It's a classic thing. Shit, they use Hurricane America to come up in New Orleans. You know, they use Hurricane America to come up in here. You know, the ethnic cleanse the city and transform it into some little white utopia. You know, all types of stuff. You know, there's always some cataclysm or something that they'll make happen. You know, the tsunami in Japan, a whole lot of shit. You know, a whole lot of stuff. But the Russians is holding all the cards. You know, they got China to back them. The reason why they hate the Chinese, they don't hate the Chinese because the Chinese are somehow inherently evil. No, they hate the Chinese because the Chinese have figured the shit out. They got the same shit they got. The Chinese have used technology. As a matter of fact, they've sent their children here, learn their shit. The children go back and they build up their stuff. You know, they practice their Chinese culture like Mao Zedong had taught them to do. You know, and still based somewhat on Mao's principles. But they'll tell you that Mao was an evil man. He was no better than the rest of them. But if you go to China, you'll see on these big walls a huge painting of Mao Zedong in the middle of downtown somewhere. You know, but we say stay tuned next week, you know, for another segment of In the Defense of the People Radio. We want to thank, you know, those who have been listening for listening. And first and foremost, we believe in politically educating our people, which will elevate the people's conscience and which will transform the people's attitude from the usual bullshit into more revolutionary principles of understanding and attitudes and swag, whatever you want to call it, so we can gain our liberation. It's not going to be easy. There will be casualties. And we speak in a real sense. We have the right to. You know, liberation is the right of all people who are oppressed in various forms, in a sophisticated way, and getting more clandestine, you know, more cloaked as we speak. But on that note, we say black power. You know what I'm saying? Same time, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We got a few ticks. We can get something to take us out with sister. We definitely appreciate it. Our sister on the ones, too, Sister Amina O'Shun, our Minister of Communication, and my co-host, Brother Motherland, our Minister of Defense, Black Power.
Okay. Yeah. We are renegades, this means war. 16 plus to break unjust laws. Overthrow regimes in the name of the cause. Renegades, never slaves, this means war. 100% uncut war. Fuck limited freedom, nigga, we want more. The machine is corrupted down to the core. Rebel hearted motherfucker, this
I got a middle war. Finger from mass media, mute the news. It's when the gun draws received a million views, which gives me the right to break the rules. Say fuck radio if the people can't pick and choose. While BT gets screwed by Viacom, the new revolutionary is Shyamalan. It's not Rush Fire Rap, it's 5 Alarm. Motivational music after I am gone. My inner vision, mysticism, call me Mr. Wisdom. They wanna turn the globe into a prison. And being sick is better than being dead. Cause when you're sick and in bed, you're indebted to meds. Clone chickens walking around without heads. The food is contaminated, the water got lead in it. Population control, make the baby sick. RS5G chips, are you for 86? This is a war against consciousness. Control of your soul, sort of a psychological dictatorship. And we are on the front line. Guilty as charged, if intellect is a crime set.
We are renegades, this means war. 16 plus to break unjust laws. Overthrow regimes in the name of the cause. Renegades, never slaves, this means war. 100% uncut war. Fuck limited freedom, nigga, we want more. The machine is corrupted down to the core. Rebel army, motherfucker, this means